reading verse 7 of chapter 2. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. They buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And all the generation were gathered unto their father. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done. And the children of Israel did evil. In verse 12, and they forsook the Lord. I'm reading from the book of Jeremiah. You don't have to go to it. Let me just turn, okay? It takes too long for you to find this stuff. Jeremiah 4:22. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have not understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I'm not even going to finish the rest of the scripture. I'm just going to go there. And I'm going to talk to you tonight, just tying into one last scripture, Hosea 6:6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I'm going to talk to you tonight about God's great desire and man's greatest need. God says, the greatest thing I desire for you is for you to know me. And that's the greatest need you have in your life. Father, bless the ministry of the word and help me to preach good. Please help me to have freedom and liberty. I'm very uncomfortable right now. And I know that you've told all this stuff to me and I'm trying to get it straight in my brain. Please help me. Bless the sweet people, Lord. And just kind of let me feel comfortable for just a little while, okay? I know you've been with us and you've blessed us and we've just about gone everywhere we can go, but I just feel like this is what you want me to say. Please help me in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. It might seem like an awkward thing to go to a conference of 3,000 or 4,000 preachers and preachers' wives and gospel-involved people to challenge you with the statement, the greatest thing you need right now is to know God. A spiritual saving knowledge of God is man's greatest need because an unknown God cannot be trusted. I figured I was going to get, I'm about at the climax right now, what I thought I would get. And here's why, and I've got to tell you this because I'm under a mandate. I'm not preaching what I'd like to. You are right, Doc. I don't work for the church. My boss gave this to me. And the problem that I'm having now is that the majority of you, probably 99% of you, are all sitting here stunned. What is this schmo saying to me about knowing God? Of course I know God. Really? Really? Well, then let me go a little easier for you. At what level do you know him? No, not got there yet, huh? You see, according to the scripture, God reveals himself to every generation anew and afresh. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. He gives everybody a chance, the privilege to know him. But here's the key. He only reveals himself to people in degrees. He has never revealed himself to any people or any individual in his fullness. I don't care how much you think we United Pentecostal people got it. We don't know all that God wants to show us yet.
We have yet to travel where God is fixing to take us yet. This whole conference, as Brother Tenney said, was about transition. God is positioning this body right now to take us into a place like Joshua took Israel. You have not gone here too far. You're going to touch stuff you've never touched. You're going to see stuff you've never seen. And the greatest need that you have is you better know God for Himself.
You can be seated. We only get glimpses of God. We had waves of His Spirit that came here day and night. And sometimes we'd slobber and snot and cry. And sometimes we'd shout and boogaloo and jam and throw down. You ready for this? I don't want to hurt your feelings because you think that's it. No, no. God just went, pfft. How's there? There's a glimpse. If you think you know God because you shouted, your brain ain't working. You know what a shout is? God just showed up and said, let me introduce myself to you. Well, let me ask you, all you brilliant theologians. You mean to tell me when you meet somebody, you know them? Well, Hopkins, I get so tired of these morons that say, oh, I know God. As soon as they say that, I say, shut up, fool. You don't know nothing. Anybody talks about God like the big guy in the sky and all that cowboy stuff, that's a bunch of baloney. Anybody I ever found out in the Scripture that ever got to know God fell down on their face, shook themselves, trembled themselves, were terrified in their soul because a creature from another world had stepped in and said, hey, I want to know you. Would you like to know me? I'm just stay with me just for a few minutes. I know you've been there a long time. Just stay with me for just a few minutes. The place that God is taking us to right now is glorious. It is supernatural. It is dynamic. And then God said to me, and tell them it's dangerous. Because my people have learned how to do. They haven't learned yet how to be. And if they end up going into the supernatural realm that I want to take them, and all they know is doing without being, it's going to be a disaster. They're going to end up shipwrecked because spiritual gifts are heavy things to operate when you don't know God.
I was afraid of this. You see, we don't know the difference between knowing about God and knowing God.
We learn all kinds of nifty things about God. But who in their right mind could say, I know God. Let me tell you about Him. Really? You mean the infinite can comprehend the finite? You mean the measured bag of clay and dirt knows all about the immeasurable and the incomparable? I heard someone before making a statement. I don't mean to be rude, but my mind, that's a dumb statement. Boy, God is large. God is big. Oh, you need to shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. That's a measurement of size. My God's a big God. What are you talking about big? What are you going to compare it to? That's a measurement of size. He's not immense. He's infinite. The universe doesn't contain God. God contains the universe. Our concept is that we keep fussing and cussing about what's wrong and what's wrong and what's wrong and what's wrong. What we need is a reevaluation of our mindset of how great God is, how awesome God is, how fantastic God is, how glorious God is. Our concept of God is too small.
God's great complaint of His people out through the years has always been, they have not known me. Now, how in the world could you be religious? How could you do offerings? How could you worship? How could you do praise? And then God said, you don't know me. Well, see, wonder who He's talking to. Well, I felt the presence of God. That don't mean you know Him. Well, I talked in tongues. That don't mean you know Him. That means He just introduced Himself to you on a very low level. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God just introduced His nature into your life, and you get to know Him on the smallest rung of the ladder. And you know what He does after He gives you the Holy Ghost? Come on. Come know Me. Come learn of Me. Come see how great I am. See how glorious I am. Let Me blow your mind. Don't just stay at Acts 2:38. There's a wonderland of glory way beyond just the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm struggling right now because you're staring at me. And here's why. Because you're saying, this fool don't know what he's talking about. I know God. No, no, no. You know God like I know God in a very low level. We know shaking and quaking, hiccuba hookah bahaka. We know how to do that. We know how to carry on. But what the doc said today, I thought he was going to preach my whole sermon. First time I ever prayed against an apostolic preacher. I said, move him off it. Move him off it. He's going to mess up a great message. Move him off it. And he did. Thank you, Jesus. 944 times. The recorded word says, know, known, knowing. 944 times. That word is the Hebrew. Where's Dr. Bernard? I saw him here somewhere. Doc, here we go. Oh, you're the Greek scholar. You know Hebrew stuff? No, good. Here's what it says. The word know means in the Hebrew, yada. 944 times in the Old Testament, know is translated from the word yada. And the Lord's complaint to His people were, oh, you know about Me, and you use My stuff, and you enjoy Me, but I don't ever yada you. Because yada means intimate knowledge. Naked transparency. Face-to-face knowledge. I don't want this rated X. It means to penetrate into one's being. To get inside the body. To get inside the mind. To get inside the concept. So that when God yadas you, you start seeing things from His perspective. And there ain't no giant too big. And there ain't no devil too big. And there ain't no disease that can't be healed. And there is no situation that cannot be corrected. Woo!
You be seated. Just a second. Why do we have all the religions? Why do we have all the philosophies? Why do we have all the cults? Simple. They know about God, don't know God. I'll get real. Why you got all the hell and trouble in your church? Real easy. The people that cause it don't know God either. No. I didn't say they haven't met God. I didn't say they don't have some type of low-level relationship with God. But they've never let their knowing increase. They've never let their knowing multiply. So they end up with attitudes, with feelings, with lusts. I wish I could get a witness in this house. If we can go home and start learning how to know God and teach our people how to know God, we won't have a bunch of hell and craziness going on from our church, our choir, our board, our ushers. We got to get people to start knowing God greater than they know God, deeper than they know God. I'm not saying we don't know Him. I'm saying our knowing is initial. Our knowing is elementary. Let me just tell you what the tragedy you sit down. Tragedy to Pentecostal people is not Pentecostal. Most of them come in, Acts 2:38, we get baptized the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, watch. And we live for the rest of our life at the initial level of knowing. And we learn not what to wear, and hopefully not what to snip, and hopefully not what to paint, and not what to watch, and not what to go. And so watch. Our knowing, ooh, I struck fire. Our knowing becomes a Christianity of compliance only. You and I are not any closer to God. We don't know God any better just because we don't wear this and don't watch that and don't cut that. We ought not do that stuff anyway because the book says we shouldn't do it. You know what 1 John says in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4? He said, hereby we know that the love of God, and we know God because we keep His commandments. Watch. Whosoever saith he knoweth God and keepeth not His commandments, he's a liar. And the truth's not in him. You ain't got to fuss and cuss with a bunch of people that don't want to do right and live right. It tells you right now, their level of knowing is very little. You need to encourage them, inspire them, challenge them. Because if they get to know God in a greater level, they'll be a blessing instead of a pain in the neck. Am I making sense? You ready to read, Reverend Mike? I'm going to get there in a second. Let me ask you a question, simple question. Man, Brother Libby, so nice to see you. Man's walking along the beach. Unfortunately, he might be a Pentecostal walking along the beach. Or he could just be a savage walking along the beach. Okay? Watch this. Walking along the beach. Hungawa. Whoa. Beholdeth or watcheth. It worketh. He stares at the watcheth. Guess what? He says, Hungawa. There is a watchmaker somewhere. For I have discovered the product of his hands. What an insult for him to say, I know him. You didn't hear me. The mic must have been off. How terrible for him to turn around and say, oh yeah, I found a product he created. I'm well acquainted with him. That man doesn't know the maker's temperament. He doesn't know his love. He doesn't know his passion. He doesn't know his desire. All he knows, he has discovered one of the works of the creator. Just because you shout, just because you dance, that doesn't mean you know him.
Oh, I'm struggling here. I'm struggling.
Look, when we go to heaven, heaven is not going to be streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Listen to me. Heaven is going to be the unending unfolding of knowing Him to a degree and a level that we were never permitted to know on this plateau. Now, you're never going to get used to Jesus. You're never just going to say, oh, yeah, I met Him. No. There are so many multiple facets of His glory and His majesty and His greatness. It'll take eternity and then some for us to discover how glorious He is and how great He is. And you've got Him in your spirit right now. He lives inside your body. He wants you and I to know Him better than we know Him.
God, according to the scripture, has made full and final revelation of Himself in the man Jesus of Nazareth. He was the Word and the will of God manifested. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Have I been so long time with you, Philip? Thou hast known me. He that sees me sees the Father. You've known the Father. You know who He is. You ready for this? 5 minutes after a 3-year ministry, they knew Jesus better than they had ever known Him at Pentecost. 5 minutes after the wind. fire in tongues. All of a sudden, the landlord moved into the house. You got a problem, you holy rollers. You've never taken time to check with the renter. You have no idea who's living inside you right now. You see, the thing that makes Christianity so fabulous is that in Christianity, the owner, the teacher, the Lord of the property moved into the property. That doesn't happen with Confucius. That doesn't happen with Muhammad and Allah. That doesn't happen. Oh, no. Joseph Smith didn't move into anybody. Nobody ever moved into his pupils. But on the day of Pentecost, the Lord of the people stepped into the body of the... And we became the house of God, the building of God, the body of Christ, the temple of the Lord, His legal ambassadors. We are His representatives. Please be seated. I know I'm not burning the barn. I understand that. Listen to me. Do you understand that when God moves into you, He doesn't move in so you go, hey, that's fine. That's some of the fruit that you get from the root. Some of you need to check the root because I don't see no fruit. Look at that junk. I'm not emotional. I'm just not given to that. Well, why? Well, I don't feel nothing. Well, I don't feel married. Well, pardon me for being so brilliant. I don't feel married. What does feel married feel like? I look 32, but I'm 62. I look like the Olympian ideal, but I'm not. You're not getting it yet. I just don't feel. Let me help you with this. When you love, there are two things involved. We get hung up on the feeling. The power behind feel is the willing. You will to love. You will to praise. You will to be faithful. You will to serve. You will to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. You don't wait to feel nothing because you know it's the truth. You will to obey. You will. You will. You're not going to get to know God any greater than you are now unless you will to know me. I will to know God. I will to know the voice of God.
Just stay with me. You did a fabulous job, okay? And I'm not being rude to you, Doc, okay? You got to understand this. There are two words in the scripture that have to do with no. Now, you are the Greek guy, I know that. And the Greek guy in Philippians 3, 7 through 10, he used the same word translated from yada. Yada means to know intimately, personally, to be within one. It's the same word that's called gnosko. Gnosko is the word that Paul used that I might know him. What is your problem? Oh, see, we've raised a generation that's adamant about Paul's doctrine, but they're sure against his journey into the Spirit. They love to fuss and cuss over Romans, but they don't want nothing to do with his venture. Listen, according to the scripture, he was a discoverer, a finder. Here we go. And a discoverer again. Too many people, supposed to be Christians, they are discoverers and finders, and then they just camp. I'll prove it to you. Okay, go ahead, Mike. Read for me. I won't be long. I was afraid of this. Go ahead.
You want John 5?
I want it. Go ahead. John 5 is great.
And the Father himself.
What's this?
Which hath sent me.
Now he's talking to the one God Jews who are worshipers, praisers, sacrificers, ritual people, ceremonial people. Watch. He says, and the Father which has sent me
hath borne witness of me.
How does the Father bear witness that He sent you? If it ain't with signs and wonders and miracles, you're blowing smoke. The Bible said Jesus showed Himself alive by many infallible proofs. It's time for us to have a parade of infallible proofs. It's time for us for the sick to be healed and the hurting to be helped and the cancers to be... We need Jesus to show up, show off, and show out. We need some infallible proofs. We've got to purpose in our hearts when we leave this conference that we are going to know Him better. You be seated. Here's my problem, brother. You stay right there, Michael. My problem. 24 years I preached. I'm thinking that's a good idea you got. I'm going to stop 1 year early. 24 years I've been here. In 24 years, I've never had God give me a message that didn't have a conclusion. I have a beginning, a long middle, and a conclusion. God spoke to me. I said, God, I'm so nervous and apprehensive about this, trying to tell Pentecostal people about knowing God. They think they know You so much, they can nail You somewhere. They think they know You so much. How am I going to tell them what's going to be the conclusion? And the Lord did speak to me. You can call me a liar. You can say anything you want. But God did speak to me and said, there'll be no conclusion to this message. It will go on after they leave. They will leave here with a desperation to pursue me. That's what David said. You said, seek my face. And I said, I will seek your face. That's God wants to take us to a level of knowing Jesus so nothing intimidates us.
Let me see you just a minute. Just a minute, excuse me. I hope you're right, Brother TF, because you said I had it. I hope you're right. If not, we're both leaving this year. Read for me. Said, the Father which sent me had bore witness of me.
Ye have neither heard His voice.
What?
At any time, nor seen His shape.
Keep going.
And ye have not His word abiding in you.
Didn't say they didn't know the word. Didn't say they didn't practice the word. They said, no, the word doesn't abide in you. That's why you got a lot of loonies in your church. The word doesn't abide in them.
Now don't get upset, Doc. Don't get upset. Because I'm going to get on your candy stick in a minute. Do not get upset. And don't let Texas get upset with me. Control your people.
That's why we elected you. Control. Watch this. Read for me.
For whom He hath sent.
Whom He hath sent.
Him you believe not.
You don't believe me. Now I'm the Father in flesh, but you don't believe me.
Sir,
I'm the author of the book. You're in love with the book, but you don't give a flip about the author.
I'm the creator in clay. I'm deity in dust. I'm the master in a uniform of a body. Don't you? The reason why you can't hear my voice is you don't know Him that sent me. You're just religious. We better hurry up and learn Him. We better know Him. Why? Because when we step out into this miraculous realm, there's going to be voices. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be devils that challenge you. And if you know God, it doesn't matter if you have losses or you have crosses. That stuff will not stop you. Why? I'll tell you what, when you know God, you can stand back with all hell breaking loose and say, it don't even matter if He fixes it.
Give me just a few more minutes. Read for me, Rev.
Search the Scriptures.
Now, come on, all you Bible quizzers. Search the Scriptures.
For in them ye think ye have eternal life.
Don't get mad, Doc. Hey, you Pentecostals. Memorize them Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. I'm here to tell you, and the Doc's here. I'm here to tell you, the Bible is not God.
The Bible is a revelation of the mind and heart and will of God. You can learn the Bible and not know the God of the Bible. You can quote all, I feel like talking, you can quote all the scriptures you want to, but there's a difference between quoting the Word and knowing the Word. There's something different between a printed page and the master of the page. Give me just a few minutes. You're doing great, Reverend Mike. We're going down about, what, verse 42, something like that?
Right.
Go ahead.
And ye will not come to me
You won't come to me that you might have life. You dummies think you've got life because you know the book. Don't get mad, Doc. You better watch out lest we become doctrine deists and Bible deists so that we worship the book. So we get enthroned and enriched and enthralled with the book. These are they which testify of me. But you won't come to me. That book, listen, if that book doesn't lead you and I to Jesus Christ, we're not reading the book right. We're not understanding. Oh, you can sit there and play your little Pentecostal game all you want to. It's not enough to quote the scripture. It's not enough to point to this and that. That book's got to take us to Jesus. That book's got to cause us to go beyond the book. I got a few more minutes.
I receive not honor from men.
Yeah.
But I know you that ye have not the love of God in you.
Wait a minute, he's talking to one God Jews. He's talking to the most religious cats you ever seen in a pair of shoe leather. Them guys that are church junkies forever. They're doing sacrifices, they're shedding blood, they're worshiping, they're wearing robes, they're doing stuff that, man, if anybody ought to know God. The only thing worse than them is us. I know, God. Shut up, stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. No, you don't know what you're talking about. Listen, here's how you know God. He said, and he called the apostles to be with him that they might learn of him. If we don't take more time to be with him, we're not going to learn of him. We'll just learn about him. If we do not experience what we expound, we cannot possess it. Because you only possess what you experience. Well, let's try it now. We keep all this for 2.5 days. Blowing and going about all the sick going to be healed and all this stuff. Well, we'll see in a few minutes. See how wussified everybody gets? It's real simple. What would Jesus do? What did his early church do? I asked God, what is the difference between us and the early church? They repented. They baptized in Jesus' name. They believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. And the Lord spoke to me and said, yeah, but they had a knowing about me that my present church doesn't know. So that when I let them go in prison, they weren't sucking their thumb. When I let them go in prison, those guys are rocking the jail. They're just singing. They're blessing God. They're exalting God. I'm sending earthquakes. I'm sending angels. You want all this power from God, you got to put up with the problems that God sets it up with. Because the mess is what gives you the miracle. You can't have a miracle looking good. You can't have a miracle feeling good. You got to feel terrible. You got to feel awful. You got to go through some... We need the impossible so God will do the impossible. I got a few more minutes in scripture. You got my other scriptures for me? John
then
7.
Cried Jesus what, in Jesus? The temple as he taught.
Oh, how dare him mess with the church house. He's in the church house and he cried out while he spoke. What did he say?
Ye both know me.
Yeah.
And ye know whence I came.
Yeah.
And I am not come of myself.
Yeah.
But he that sent me,
watch this,
is true, whom you know not.
How to win friends, John, and influence people. I know you believe in God, but you're just a loony. You don't know it. See, he said that to the church people. I'm not allowed to say it to the church people. We want to save that junk for telling the lost. The lost already know they're lost. You can't keep looking at creation and trying to find out about God. Romans autopsy from the Apostle Paul that says creation declares the things of God. Listen to me. Creation declares. It doesn't reveal God. It shows the work of God. But you can't look at the watch and say you know the watchmaker. You can't look at creation and say you know the creator. It doesn't work that way. You got to meet him for yourself. You got to embrace him for yourself. You got to know him for yourself. You got to have an encounter that sets you free. I'm telling you, dear brother, we are running this church on low-level knowing. Doesn't mean we don't love God. Doesn't mean we're not saved. It just means that we're a liability. Some of our kids are liabilities. They're still our kids. You're not getting it. I got in, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name. Took off this, put on that. Didn't cut this, didn't favor. Okay, I'm ready. What are you doing? I'm into maintenance. I'm going to learn what the standard is through singing a choir, and I'm going to meet the standard, and I'm going to sing in a choir. But I may not know God any more than a dead frog knows God. Well, I'm going to hurt you right now. I don't care what you say. God told me, you just sit there and stare all you want to. Anointing is not enough. We've been hearing all this about getting anointed, getting anointed, getting anointed. You better watch out. Anointing doesn't mean you know God. Anointing means God's using you. That's all. He anointed the donkey, and the donkey didn't know God. I'll go a little further. He anointed Lucifer, who is the anointed cherub that covereth as close to the presence of God and the throne of God as anybody could get. And he didn't know him either. He just knew about him. Well, let me try it again. Can I get close where you are? And Judas Iscariot was given the gifting and the anointing of God before the Holy Ghost was given at Pentecost. And he cast out devils. And he went around and healing the sick. And he had, it's quiet now. And he had miracle signs and wonders. And he didn't know Jesus either. So you can be used by God and anointed by God and sing. Oh. And you can dance like a ballerina. And God turns around and says, sorry, no Yadah with us. No Gnosko with us. You're just using my stuff. I'm going to go further. And I don't mean to hurt you, Mort, because I know God's greatly used you. But I'm going to tell you, an empty wheelchair is not proof you know God. I'll prove it to you. Stay right where you are, Mike. The doctor quoted it. I'm just going to expand on it. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit, right? But he that doeth the will of my Father. Watch. For many in that day shall say. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but the many only involves two people. The charismatic and the Pentecostal. There's nobody else doing miracles, signs, and wonders that we know of. The Baptists are safe. They're not in that statement. The Presbyterians, the Church of Christ, the Mormons, they ain't in that statement. They didn't believe the supernatural. You better watch out for the folks who believe the supernatural, who practice the supernatural. That's the ones that are going to wake up damned on the other side of their grave when they died thinking that signs and wonders and miracles validated their call, their knowing, their ministry. Oh, no, it didn't, my friend. He said, many shall say to me that day, have we not healed the sick in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we not done many mighty works in thy name? Yes, read what he says. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I do not, never have. Gnosko, Hebrew, yada. I never knew you. Why? Because you never opened your heart to me. You never got naked and open with me. You never got transparent with me. You just used my blessings. You just used my gifts. You just used my anointing. You better watch out. Where we're being taken by God is going to be a place of miracles, signs, and wonders. We better know God before we get into that stuff. Sister, stay with me just another minute. Our problem is we have got into intellectual knowing. We've got into academic knowing. I don't want to hurt you if you're here and you believe this. I used to believe that too, but don't get offended. I believe in Jesus. That's great. Glad you do. That has no idea. Watch this. I believe in George Bush. Watch this. I accept George Bush as my personal president. But I don't know George. He just uses my money to buy hors d'oeuvres and play golf. I don't get invited to the White House to sleep there. I don't get invited to talk to George. George don't ever call me. George don't know me. But I understand that I believe he's the president of the United States. When someone says, I believe in God, you're one step ahead of a fool. Because the fool has said, there is no God. Well, I felt. I just felt. Listen, when I was a young guy, I was pretty. And I had a lot of them babes hanging around me. When they hug and kiss me, I felt. That didn't make them my wife. It's not enough to feel the Lord. We've got to come to know the Lord. We've got to stay to a place and jump into a plateau higher than we've ever known God before. I'm not saying we don't know. I'm saying the level that we're living at is too low. Be seated. I'm not here to fix you. I'm here to send you home. I am, with a homework assignment. I'm telling you, all this shouting, all this wonderful weeping and breaking and vowing and apologizing, that's wonderful. That's all part of our heritage. That's glorious. But when you leave, you better come to know Him. You better get intimate with Him. Did Doc say it? I was glad he finally left one scripture he didn't use. And Adam, Yada, Eve. Don't you get it? The product of a Yada is fruit. You're not hearing me yet. Don't get offended. Don't get offended. You're a sweet man. Don't get offended. The Pentecostals have got a disease. We are going after every human fountain to quench our thirst. You missed what I just said. Yeah, who? Go to a service. Who's preaching? Who gives a flip? I thought the power's in the Word. I thought the power's in Jesus coming to make Himself known. I didn't know we were into this articulation by our favorite preachers. I thank God for you speakers. I listen to you. I listen to your tapes. But you don't satisfy my soul. Oh, no. You may inspire me. You may challenge me. But when I turn off the tape, then I get with the Master. And I say, Lord, I got to know You.
I'm dealing with lust. I'm dealing with anger. I'm dealing with resentment. I'm dealing with frustration. I want to quit. I don't want to go back. I don't want to preach. That devil is a liar. They that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. And that word no is yada.
Before you're seated, look at four or five people and say, hey, Flash. Now, let's get honest. Forget all this Pentecostal stuff. Do you know God in the level you want to know God? I'll tell you right now, I don't. I don't know God, but I got something from the Lord. The Lord has been telling me this whole conference, we are on our way to a place in... We are on our way to a place where we will not be defeated. We will not be discouraged. We will not be intimidated. Why? They that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. Give me just a few more minutes, okay? We're dealing with a church. God bless this church. He loves the church. But in all of our churches, we have people who are frustrated, empty, anguished, burned out. Always, don't get insulted, reaching for a new method, going to another conference, buying another set of tapes, getting some more books, human fountains. I appreciate all you sweet people that have prayed for me all this week and have come up, put your arm around me, patted me on the shoulder, believed in me, encouraged me. That's meant so much to me. I don't want to hurt your faith in me. I can't quench your thirst. I can maybe inspire you to know Him. If you know me, if you know the Mangans, if you know this church, if you know Acts 2:38, if you can know the whole doctrine that we say we're for and stuff we're against. Listen, we're fussing and cussing about all the presence of these vices and these villainies in our life. That's not our problem. Oh, we make all these rules. We got a man that'll give you a hernia to pick the thing up. It's got so many pages in it. Listen to me. That's not the issue. The villainy and the vices are not the issue. I'll go a little further. Video and TV and computers, that's not the issue. It's the absence of the person, Jesus of Nazareth, in fullness in our lives. We've got to get God active in our lives. We've got to get God operating and moving in our lives. We don't have to preach against all this crazy sin if we could get people that would know the Lord. Please be seated. You've heard me preach about Patty. She's the pal behind the throne. She's the queen of the hot. She's the foxy redhead I'm going home to hug and kiss and cut the lawn with. You know what I like about her? I know her. Wait a minute, I don't want to be rude. It's not because we have sexual relations. That's all part of a marriage. But I know her. I just know it. And you know what? I've reached a level now after 40 years of with the hot tomato that I know her better now than I did when I married her. Because my openness is there. My transparency is there. I'm just as married from the first year as I am. I'm not more married. You're not going to get more saved. You're saved. But what's going to happen is as you get intimate with God, as you open up to God, as you get to know God, you get so comfortable with God. Am I making sense here? I don't want to cause no trouble. Just stay with me, Mike. Read some more of them scriptures. You got 8:19.
Then said they unto him,
yeah,
where is thy father?
Yeah, where's your father?
Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father.
Oh, Jesus, have mercy. These are the one God Jews. These are the religious people. They're the incense folks. They're the ones that are chanting and dancing. Little bells on the bottom of the high. Where you been? Oh, I've been to POA. Oh, yeah? Oh, you must have. Oh. The preacher preached tonight, little hell, little bump in the road, and you think you're backslid. But if you get to know God in a level of intimacy that you don't have now, it won't devastate you. Listen to me. God allowed Job to know Him at a level. I never heard this, never read it, didn't steal it from a book. Got it in a motel. Said, Job knew me at a level. I wanted to take him to a higher level, so I made some things in his life die. I made him lose things he was comfortable with. And then I appeared to him for 4 chapters, and he said, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see of thee. I realize I didn't know you like I'm seeing you now. Guess what? Once you get to that level, you get twice as much as you had before. God will give you an abundance. God will bless you. You won't have to stay up at night worrying about that. God owns the cattle on a thousand hill. He owns all the taters. He owns the oil. Don't think the Palestinians own it. God owns the oil. He owns the gold. He owns the silver. All the souls of the earth are mine, saith the Lord. I'm struggling. I'm so sorry. I'm struggling. Just stay with me just a second. Tragedy. 3 years. I've been searching and stretching for God to use me. He used me in the supernatural place, Brother Bernard. Not that I did anything. See, when you really get to know God at a better level, you'll be the fastest person in the world to say, why look ye so earnestly on us? As if by our holiness or our righteousness or our power, we made this man whole. When you find people that God blesses and uses, and they're slow at giving the credit, you can rest assured they know at a very low level. Because when God used Peter and John to heal that guy at the gate beautiful, the minute they looked at him and tried to give him accolade, he said, hey, buddy, don't be throwing no wreaths my way. Oh, no. The God of Israel, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has raised up his son whom you crucified, and by faith in his name has given this man now this perfect soundness. That's the blessing of knowing God in a greater way. Your ego gets defeated. Your pride gets put in the dirt. You don't stay to get your picture taken. You look back and say, look what the Lord has done. I just need a few more minutes. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry. I did a study. I know I saw Freddie Clark here, Doug Kleindienst, Martin Buster, John Alcovia, other people that I know that God has blessed in the miraculous supernatural. Listen to me. It's a matter of history. 1950, God, Brother Beckton, you ought to know this. 1950, God released a flow of the Holy Ghost into the world with miracle signs and wonders. Jack Cole, A.A. Allen, William Branham. Listen to this. The record says during the 50s and the 60s, there were over 200 recorded faith healers that could validate all kinds of miracles that were done in their services. Now the report said in 1980, there's 5 left. What happened? Doing excelled being. The mic was off. I'm sorry. Let me try it again. Gifting excelled godliness. Greek scholar, ready? Charismata, the gifts of God. Charismata exceeded character. Why? They didn't know God at a higher level than function. Boy, keep reading for me, Doc. I'm almost done.
Remember the word that I said unto you? The servant is not greater than his Lord.
Yes.
If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
Right.
If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also.
Yes.
But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake.
And?
Because they know not him that sent me.
You go home to your persecution and your bumps in the road and your stuff that you just wonderfully preached on. And you turn around and look at that and said, people and spirits and demons do this to me because they know not him. You show hatred and bitterness and villainy and unkindness toward the body of Christ. There's a good chance that your knowing God is so minimal. You're still at the entrance level. You're still at the little stage where you first got the Holy Ghost and you've never grown to know him. When you, Brother Mark, when you get to know God in that level that I feel God is telling us, you'll not be held hostage by fear. You'll not be held hostage by people's opinions. You'll not be intimidated by even the laws of the land. Ain't that right, Daniel? That's right. You better not pray. Offer no sacrifice of prayer to any other God. He opened the window and said, watch this. He wasn't being a rebel. He knew God. What is that? When you know God, you can turn around and say, if God fixes it, fine. If he doesn't fix it, fine. He's going to send me in the lion's den? Here's how you can tell if you know God like you should. The Lord has sent his angel. It wasn't my spirituality. It wasn't my holiness. It wasn't my greatness. The Lord sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Okay, you three Hebrews. When I start with the dulcimer, the sackbut, the harp, you guys better bow down. You probably didn't hear the announcement last time. I'm going to give you one more chance, okay? Boy, hell loves to try to intimidate you. You know what hell's doing? Hell's trying to see just at what level you know God. We got to get rid of the diaper brigade in Pentecost. We got to get rid of wiping everybody's little nose in Pentecost. I get so tired of shouting and talking in tongues and having a great move of God on Sunday. And by Tuesday, these poor slobs act like they weren't even saved. What's going on with you, man? Why don't you grow up and get a life? Why don't you get to know God? If you get to know God, it doesn't matter what kind of hell comes in your life. It doesn't matter what kind of lies are told on you. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Now you three Hebrews. Wait, I know where you are. I know where I am. You just stay right there. You're doing wonderful. You three Hebrews. Now you bow down. We are not careful. We're not arrogant. We're not smart, Alex. We're just not careful to answer you, okay? We can't do this kind of stuff. If it's just scripture knowledge you have, you'll fudge. If it's God knowledge you have, hell can't get mean enough to make you fudge. Here I stand, come hell or high water, take your best shot. When it's finished, I'm going to tell you what, I may be bleeding on the ground. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord is going to be my light. It doesn't matter if I fall down. I got resurrection power inside of me. I'm going to get up because I know him. I'm almost done. You sit down. Okay, Reverend Mike, thank you. Keep reading.
These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended.
Right.
They shall put you out of the synagogue.
Right.
Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service.
Yeah.
And these things will they do unto
Come on,
you.
Come on, get your head on right now. These things will they do unto you. Why?
Because they have not known the Father.
That's the issue.
Nor me.
Don't fuss and cuss with all these folks that don't look and act and dress and believe like us. They don't know the Father like you know the Father. You got another one still? Oh, you got lots of them, right? Oh, well, I'll take an extension.
And this is life eternal.
Now, this is John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true wise God, living right. God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal. I don't want to hurt your feelings, Doc. It ain't Acts 2:38. That's the entrance into the kingdom. That's being impregnated with the divine nature of God. But the divine nature of God wants to take you and I to a level of knowing that we don't know when we first talk in tongues. Too many Pentecostals are living at the level of Acts 2:38. Now that's mandatory. That's compulsory. There's no other way to be saved without it. But once you... Thank you. You got to move on. That's what God is saying to this service right now. Come and know me. Come and know me. Well, I do know you. Come on, know me better. Know me better. I'll take care of your fear. I'll take care of your anxieties. I'll take care of your ambitions. Don't worry about it. Even if I don't fix it, if you know me at that level, I don't have to fix it.
I'm gonna finish. Sorry, Bishop. Yeah. I need one more scripture.
Oh, righteous Father.
Yeah, go ahead.
The world hath not known thee.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
But I have known thee.
Wait a minute. He said, now that's some pretty gall, Sister Deb. The world ain't never known you. Boy, you're getting kind of selective and singular. Yes, I am. The world doesn't know and don't know me. You're living in a world that doesn't know God. Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. You cannot know God academically or intellectually or fleshly. The writer of Corinthians says, what man knoweth anything of the man except the spirit that is in man? And we cannot know the things of God except by the Spirit of God. You don't really think that God wants to show us stuff beyond where we be? I can tell you right now, your level of knowing is not where it ought to be. Neither is mine, but yours is worse than mine. You think I'm kidding you? I'll pray for the sick. Half of you won't. I'll come against devils and demons. Half of you won't. I'll reach for the Spirit. I don't care what you do. Man, we need tongues and interpretation. Yes, we do. We need utterances of prophecy. Yes, we do. We need the word of knowledge and the gift of miracles and the gift of, oh, yes, look how quiet it is right now. See, you know what you've done? You have married yourself to doctrine and divorced yourself from deity. And we get our comfort and our security from what we believe instead of what we know.
Okay. I'm all closed. Okay.
Man, I've done lousy. I hate it. I've heard myself so much better. I'm unimpressed. Watch this. Same anointing oil. Ready? Same anointing oil. Same old man as Samuel. Finds old Saul. Anointing. Finds that little freckle-faced kid, David. Anointing. Same anointing oil. What happens? The one guy experiences yada. The other guy falls in love with his position. And here's how you can tell what level you're at. Goliath is sent by God to see just how deep and how high do you know. Why would Saul be afraid of that big schmo? He's got holy anointing oil. He's got the presence of another world because this is not his. And David's got a little freckled face. He's got sheep dung between his sandals. He's running in there. And man, he just, man, I'll take that big slob. If I can find me a rock, I'll take that. You say, you're getting kind of cocky. Oh, no. I know a God that helped me kill a bear. And I know a God that helped... Oh.
And this uncircumcised Philistine ain't going to be any different. You can tell where you are in knowing God by how you respond to your next trouble. Remain standing with me. I've finished. Excuse me. Mike, I'm going to close. Thank you so much for helping me. You're very kind. Remember, Balaam had a knowing at function level only. That's what scares me. I want function. I want the anointing. I want to go home. Because the folks at home, they don't know anything about this. They just think we've been on some spiritual high. But now I got to go home and say, because every adversary is going to look at you and say, you know God? I'll see how deep and high you know God by how much hell I put in front of you. And see whether it defeats you, destroys you, or angers you. I'll tell you, you know God, it gives you strength to be and to do. Not to just do. Come on, Mary. You showed us you're sitting at His feet, and Martha, you're making a spaghetti dinner, and I know you mean to be kind to Jesus, but if you read that scripture, you know, maybe I'm wrong on this, but the Bible said Martha comes in and says, "Will you talk to my sister? She has left me to serve alone." All my years, I used to think that, well, Martha's in there whipping up the pancakes and stuff, and Mary's in there. No, no, left me. She had been serving. And she stopped serving for knowing. And the one that doesn't know makes everything out of serving. So when we get the Holy Ghost, you know what we do? We don't keep pursuing knowing. We go into serving. God spoke to my heart. As God is alive, He spoke to my heart and said, I want you to challenge my people to change the level of their knowing me. Provoke them to want to know me better. Not just functional. We have a level of knowing, Michael, that we have learned how to preach. And we can teach. And we can orchestrate. And we can have a choir. And we can run buses. And God's not angry about any of that. We're doing what we can. But we're doing it from a level that's so small in knowing. So that by the time we finish the weekend service, man, we're burned out. We're freaked out. We can't do anything. We just wish to God we'd go bowling or play golf or whatever you allow in your life. I'll tell you what. Think I'll kill you? Just see what kind of level of dread you have for your next prayer meeting. We got to leave this conference and understand that God wants to take duty and make it delight. Okay, you ready to play for me, Rasputin? Whoever's going to play, give me some scary stuff. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. He said that in the midst of the storm. The rain ain't stopped. Nobody stopped puking. The wind's still blowing. The boat's rocking. And he goes, I believe God. That's them stupid spiritual people that do that. There's a hurricane going on. It's a ray of rock again. What? My dad owns the weather. And an angel came by. Oh, God, now we're into that angel stuff. Well, I'm not smart enough to make it without their help. And I'm not spiritual enough to just make it on tapes and books. I had one more scripture, Mike. I needed you to read it for me. I'm sorry. Because I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, give me hope. Let me do it myself, Mike. I'm already there. I'm sorry. Excuse me, Brother Williams. Mike's fine. Here's what the Lord spoke to me. Brother Hudson, here's what He said. Hosea 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord. If He's torn, He'll heal us. He is smitten, He'll bind us up. 2 days, He'll revive us. 3rd day, He'll raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Here's what it is. Then shall we yada.
if we follow on to Yadah the Lord. We're always looking for techniques, methods, a better way, a new program. We're driving Hazelwood crazy. They're pumping out so much stuff, my God in heaven. Books and dots and junk and this and that and this. And God is saying, if you'll just get kenosko with me, if you'll get intimate with me, if you'll get naked and open with me, if you'll just, you know, I'm close. I'm sorry. God never has Yadah or Gnosko with anyone he's not in covenant with. Adam could not have sexual relations with Eve except the fact he had a marriage contract. Here's a problem. Just because you're married doesn't mean you'll act intimate. There's a lot of marriages that have function and no enjoyment and no fellowship and no romance and no knowing. We are the bride. Okay. I do not apologize for the Word of God. I just tell you that we got to get a hold of this right now. I tell you what I'd like you to do. Could you stretch over hand to hand if possible? And could you just pray this simple prayer? Lord, help this person and help myself to come to know you beyond what I already know.